clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown!
Monday night, the last time, like I said, Seattle played the Cowboys and we saw a shootout. I'm going to say that there are over 80 points scored on Monday Night Football. Philly defense continues to struggle a little bit, and we're going to get a shootout on Monday Night Football.
Welcome into Solo Catch. Welcome into Soul Possession today, folks. My name is Adam Jeffrey Rossi, and as you just heard, both of us did not get our friends' fortunes correct. 80 points. That's, Josh tends to not be as bold from time to time on his friend's fortunes. I think that's just because he's smart and he likes to get them right. But yes, it was not that much of a shootout on Monday Night Football. And thanks to Russell Wilson and Mitchell Trubisky, I also did not get my French fortune correct. That's okay, though. Welcome to the show, folks. Like I said, it is an episode of Soul Possession today, not Simultaneous Catch, as my co-host and best friend, Joshua Thomas Lapping, is on a bye week this week with the theater being crazy in our final week before we all go on break. And I don't know if those of you know, Josh is transitioning to interim executive director as we are looking for a new leader. So it's very exciting for him. But him and Jenna will be taking on a lot of additional responsibilities in the new year. So Josh is using this time to rest, relax, and also make sure he's absorbing all the necessary information to make sure the theater keeps on crushing it. But we will be okay without him for one episode at least. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to have our Dallas correspondent on the show. We're going to talk about that Buffalo-Dallas game. I did give him an out. I said we did not have to record this week. We could wait until there was a better time for him. But he said he's not going to run from it, which I respect. I respect mightily. But before we get to Mike, and then we'll get to Pal's Picks, and then I'll do a Rossi ranking, and then we'll get you guys out of here for the holidays. A little bit of a shorter episode today. But before we get to Mike and our Dallas correspondent's take on the Cowboys and the NFC playoff picture, wanted to do a little rant, rave, recall. Wanted to do like a little bit of a rant about Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is a player that, for those of you who have been with Simultaneous Catch since its genesis, Aaron Rodgers is a player that made Josh like football. He's a Dolphins fan by blood because his dad is a huge Dolphins fan, big Dan Marino guy. But Aaron Rodgers is the first player that made Josh really love football. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the first star quarterbacks I remember seeing taking a snap. I think the first game I ever watched outside of Buffalo games was his that start at the end of the year for the, I believe, 6-win Packers. Right before he fully took over and was just, you know, the Aaron Rodgers that we know. I can't remember another player where my opinion on them has plummeted so fast. We've always known that Aaron's been a little bit of a diva, but for a while it was kind of that fun diva-esque where it's like, ah, what a silly guy. But then we got into 2020 with the pandemic, and just the really pseudo-intellectual really started to be glaring from Aaron, where he was talking about being immunized, thinking he was smarter than people, smarter than actual doctors who spend their whole careers studying these sort of type of things. And then we got to the whole getting out of Green Bay thing, and then you get to the Jets and you get them to sign all these players, and he gets injured by no fault of his, right? But it all looks like it's going to go good. And then the whole season he's like, I'm coming back this year, which is like, you know what, that's fine if you want to like try to manifest it. You're like, I'm going to try my best. But there's a difference between those two sentences I just said. There's a difference between I'm going to do my best to do this and I'm going to do it. Now, there were reports recently that Aaron said to come back after 14 weeks, that's a pretty impossible task. And I just, a little mini rant, it's like, yeah, we all knew that. And I'm just so exhausted with Aaron Rodgers trying to think that he's just like smarter and better than everybody. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the history of the sport. If Patrick Mahomes weren't in the league right now, I would flat out say he is the most talented quarterback we have ever had in the NFL, ever. And yet it comes with all this extra baggage. And, you know, I hope for him and for the Jets fans that I know and love that he comes back healthy next year and that they have a great season. But I'm just so tired of people in general, but especially athletes who want to believe that they're smarter than everybody else when they're shown to not be. So, again, I'm not, you know, wishing any ill will towards Aaron Rodgers. I'm just getting so tired of the, like I said, pseudo-intellectualism of it all. But regardless, the Jets will not be in the playoffs. They were mathematically eliminated either last week or the week before. Zach Wilson was injured yet again, and the Jets' future is very confusing. But it will certainly not be boring because it is the New York Jets. So we are going to get on the horn here very soon with our Dallas correspondent, Mike. All right, like I said, we got our Dallas correspondent, Mike, here on the show. Mike, I think this is the latest in the season that we've had you on the show.
Yeah, I think usually I come on probably like the second time the Cowboys-Eagles matchup, usually when they're both together. And look, I appreciate it after the Bills game, Cowboys game on Sunday. You know, you shot me. It was very nice. You shot me a text and you said, hey, there would be no shame if you didn't want to come on this week. Like, you could always come on another week. There, you know, and, you know, I was getting ready to come on and be like, wow, that was a great 10-plus point victory by the Cowboys. I'm so sorry about the Bills playoff hopes. And, you know, what kind of man would I be if I did not make the appearance after a 20-point loss?
I respect it so much. I did, when I teed up the intro here, I did say, I was like, you know, Mike was a man. He did not run from the moment, and I appreciate and respect it because I would definitely be a little bit afraid. But let's just get right into that, the Bills-Cowboys game. I mean, this is going to be a bad interviewer because I don't have a question for you, but I know you're going to have good stuff. Just initial reactions from the game, because I got to a point in the third quarter where I was just like stunned but what I was watching as the fan of the Bills that were winning.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it seems to go as a Cowboys fan. I think that might sound very depressing, and you know, I don't know. It was an unfortunate game. I think the weather was pretty miserable, obviously, and it really favored, you know, a run strategy. I was actually upset that I did want to see Dak and Josh just both get to air it out. They're two of the five or six best quarterbacks in the world, and I wanted to see them kind of fling it around. It's a take that most Buffalo Bills fans and most Northeast football fans will never hear, and I don't even know if I really believe it, but there is something to be said about it. If every team is just an indoors dome team, we always get to see our high-powered offenses at their best, but at the same time, you don't get to have that beautiful, ugly snow December game, so like I understand it. But yeah, I mean, the ball bounced badly, I think, in our way. We had that early, roughing the passer on Josh Allen.
It was a bad call.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Josh sold it, and he's going to maybe, you know, I hear the Oscars are coming up soon, and maybe he'll get a nomination for his performance. But, no, like, he's good at selling those calls, and, you know, he got him, and that was a four-point play right there. It would have been 3-0. You know, then the next drive down, Zach Martin, you know, gets called for when there was a very clear head-to-head on Dak. Zach kind of gave the guy a shove. That was, you know, offsetting. I think we have a real ref problem in the league, and I'm not going to say that we lost this game because of the refs, you know, doing a bad job. I just think across the league all year, the refs have been really bad, and I get frustrated week in and week out at watching any game, not just Cowboys games. But I do think the refereeing is bad, and you know, I thought we did not do ourselves any favors. I thought the fumble that, you know, was a fumble that never got, you know, shown back down to the Dallas side, that was tough because, you know, it was 14-0. Maybe we get the ball back at the 40, go and score.
Another good point.
It was 14-3. Then at that point, it's 21-3. And the game felt like it was over. And James Cook had the game of his life. Josh Allen had 92 yards. Like, if you told me that Josh Allen was going to have 92 yards, then we won
by like 20, right? Yeah.
I would have signed if you could have told me Josh Allen 92 yards, I would sign up for that.
And for listeners of the show, people who haven't been listening a lot, I always tout that when Buffalo runs the ball, it's normally pretty effective, but we don't fully commit to it. And I'm not one of those old age guys that's like, oh, run the ball and stop the run, that's how you win. But even in the Devin Singletary days, I used to say he's effective when we use him, we just don't use him, I don't think, enough. And James Cook is quietly having a really, really good season. Now, this game in front of the national audience on Fox, game of the week, of course, it, you know, the perfect time to have the best game of his career. But James Cook has been huge for us, and Joe Brady, when he took over, you know, a month or so ago, has really, really rode Cook in both the passing and running game.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's been one of, I think, the three or four best running backs. I mean, it's McCaffrey, obviously, and I think Kyren Williams has a case, and I think James Cook is right there. He's been great, and it's funny, the last running back in the last three seasons to have a game with, I think it's 220 plus yards on 25 carries, 220 total yards while touching the ball 25 times is actually Dalvin Cook in 2021.
That's so awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
and we also got the worst, you know, we allowed 8 times that game for a rush of 10 or more yards, which, you know, that's not gonna work. It was awful tackling.
Yeah.
We were down, you know, Hankins, who was our big run stopper, Jonathan Hankins, he was out.
That was huge. I have cousins who listen to the show who are big Dallas fans, and he immediately was like, the loss of him is absolutely evident. And when I saw that on the inactives, I wondered if Joe Brady was like, I'm going to lean into this side of the game plan a lot more.
And I think the rain made that even easier to commit to, whereas if it's perfect weather, you know, maybe you're doing it, but you're not like just, I mean, you know what it felt like, Adam? It felt like in the Rams 2018 playoff game with CJ Anderson.
Yes.
And James Cook is obviously a better running back than CJ Anderson, but like that game,
you're right.
Horror stories. I still wake up in cold sweats sometimes with nightmares about CJ Anderson, you know, getting signed on week 15 off his couch. And
that's a great point.
Sending our football team to the shadow realm. I mean, 8 times, 10 plus yard runs.
And that's also that's a great point on the like playoff run running back idea. I forget who had this take, but they were talking about how like, and I think James Cook is better than some of these players I'm going to mention, but like every year it feels like when there's a playoff team that goes on a run, they like find a running game somewhere. Like I'm thinking of James Starks with the Packers when they won the Super Bowl with Rodgers. I'm thinking of like J.J. Arrington resurgence when the Cardinals went all the way. Like
James White with the Patriots.
James White with the Patriots. Yes. Rashad Mendenhall. I know he was good for a couple of years, but like the last Pittsburgh run, like there's these guys that like catch fire late in the year that just become an additional weapon. And again, I personally think James Cook is a better player than those people, but this is the point in time where you really want to see that. And so that's, you know, this is more on the Buffalo side now, but like that's the biggest encouraging factor for me as the Bills fan.
Totally. We had awful tackling across the board, and James Cook is good, but, you know, that's what we allowed was pretty egregious. And, you know, we also, for somebody who has a $40 Dak Prescott preseason MVP ticket that pays about $600, I was just beside myself because he probably had the worst game of his of his last 3 years, probably since, you know, he comes back post-calf injury in 2021 and he plays against Denver, and he was pretty awful in that game.
And I'm the
this was the worst game. So like, even if you played a good or above average game, we might have still lost just because how James Cook was.
And listen,
we didn't even get an average game from him.
I'm the owner of a $10 Dak Prescott ticket, so I also put it on there. But I will say Josh is not a Dak hater, but I am the resident show's Dak defender, and I don't put a lot on Dak in that game. Our rush was all over the place. You couldn't run the ball at all. It was just one of those snowball games to me. I think that there's a lot of those games in the NFL where it starts going wrong and then you never ever find your footing. It's just one thing after another. But to sort of transition that, because what happens now is all hope is not lost for Dallas, because Philly just got punched in the mouth by Seattle in Seattle on Monday Night Football. And so now there's an opening here. Now, mathematically, it's a slim chance, but I'm telling you, there's a chance here. So let's talk real quick about Dallas' possibilities of still winning the division and maybe even the one seed. I know that one's a little far-fetched, but there's a path.
So the one seed is a little far-fetched, but I got to just shout out, you know, Drew Lock putting on for a city, and JSN, who has a Dallas Cowboys tattoo with a star on his arm.
Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Catch. He's from Dallas. He loves the Cowboys.
Oh, that's so cool.
He was my favorite receiver in the draft, and he's had a somewhat underwhelming
year. What's with all these Ohio athletes also being Dallas fans? I know.
I felt so vindicated on the catch. I was watching with Jack Bayless, who just moved to New York. He'll be listening to this later. But I mean, I leapt out of my off my couch like a cat with just
crazy
delight, because Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Drew Lock. I mean, he gave us. Here's the path. The Dak MVP is still alive, and even the one seed is still alive, but it's slim.
Yeah.
What needs to happen? Cowboys win out. We go on the road against Miami this week. That helps the Bills too. We beat the Dolphins.
Yes. We are. I am rooting for Dallas next week.
We beat the Dolphins. We host the Lions at home, where we've won 15 straight and averaged 40 points per game.
That'll be
and
a
we
big
beat
game.
The Lions.
Jared Goff, that's a big one.
Jared Goff not as good of a road quarterback either. Last year we played them. I think we beat them 36-6. And you know, not saying that'll happen again.
No, it's his road woes haven't been as glaring this year, but he's still not as good. He's still not as good as on road.
And then end the year going to Washington.
Yeah.
We went out and say Dak adds 10 total touchdowns, 850 yards, and maybe one or two turnovers. And four other things have to happen. the Ravens have to beat the 49ers this week.
Sure.
Which I think they can.
Yes, I think they can.
And I think if the Ravens win, Lamar is going to then be in the MVP conversation.
We don't have to have the MVP conversation now because I know that I know that you and I would just dump on Brock a little bit too much, but Lamar's mine right now.
I'm not going to. Brock would not be my pick, but like I'm also somebody who has a $5 Brock Purdy MVP ticket from the preseason.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna, you know, I won't be furious. I think it would be odd, but I'm not gonna, whatever. Ravens beat the 49ers, and then Lamar's in the driver's seat. And
right.
Then the next week, the Dolphins beat the Ravens. Dolphins beat the Ravens, finally get their big game against a good team. Maybe beating the Ravens knocks Lamar down a little bit.
Yeah.
The Giants or the Cardinals beat the Eagles. Cardinals in week 17, Giants in week 16 or 18. That happens, we're solid. And then the Rams, Matt Stafford kind of having a resurgent year. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams, you know, weird things happen in divisional games. Rams beat the 49ers in week 18. And the Cowboys are now the one seed, and Dak Prescott's probably the MVP.
In a weird way, I like that Rams one the most. But I mean,
I kind of agree. Really, ultimately, though, all we need is the Giants or the Cardinals to beat the Eagles. We can even lose to the Dolphins. And even if we lose to the Dolphins, we just have to beat the Lions and the Commanders.
Yeah, Josh
Lions
and I...
Home, Commanders on the road.
Josh and I talked about this on the show last week, is that we don't think Tommy DeVito could do it twice, but we absolutely believed, even before the Seattle game, that Tommy DeVito could pull the upset on Philly. So that certainly gets interesting. But I don't want to spend too much time delving into the crazy what-ifs. As fun as they are for me, I don't know that they're as fun for some of our listeners. So what I really want to do now is shift to the playoffs, because you're in. It sucks that you clinched in a loss, and I think that...
It's terrible.
I think they even asked Dak about it, and he was like, I don't want to hear that. We have other things to do. But let's say that you don't win the division, you don't get the one seed, right? You guys have to go on the road. And I typically don't like to do the they're bad on the road and, you know, good at home type of thing. But a lot of the numbers back this up, right? You're not as good on the road as on home. What is your, like, confidence level? Like, how important and impactful is it to you if you don't get a home playoff game? Like, does that drastically knock down your Super Bowl belief?
Well, okay, so the analytics indicate always that the team with the bye has always got the best chance of winning. Last year,
especially now that there's just one team in each conference gets it.
Yeah, just one bye, exactly. Yeah. Like, last year, the Eagles got a path of Daniel Jones and then Christian McCaffrey / UCL torn Brock Purdy.
Which, yep.
You know, they basically got to trot to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
This year, I think the end path is a little bit harder for whoever, because, you know, the Rams are going to be dangerous in that, you know, lower seed.
And yeah, that seven, six seed in the NFC, I do think can be frisky.
A little bit friskier than, you know, maybe the Giants or the Vikings last year. But ultimately having a home, hosting on at home is always preferred. I think the road deficiencies are a bit over-exaggerated. I think one thing is our home the way we play at home is so dominant and so much better than just about anybody in the league that it's like it is a dramatic drop off. But if we were just a great home team and we averaged 29 or 30 points per game, which would be a great team, then the drop off is, you know, 30 points to 22 points a game. That's still a big drop off. But right now we're dropping off from 40 to 22 points. So it feels extremely dramatic. The teams that we're losing to on the road are good teams. We lost to Philly, a close game that we almost stole on the road. We lost to Buffalo, I think one of the best 7-6 teams of recent memory. Like, they've had a maybe underwhelming season, but like that's not a bad team. That's not a bad roster. And then we lost to San Francisco, who everybody would say right now is the unanimous like best team in the world. The really bad loss is the Arizona loss. But as a whole, we have like good teams defend home. That's like the idea. Like when you're a good team, you protect home. We beat the bad or the mediocre, the middling teams, and usually pretty relatively easily on the road. The issue is we've got those bad losses.
Good point.
I know you said Tommy DeVito could beat the Eagles. Speaking of the Cardinals, Kyler Murray could also. I mean, a former number one overall pick, that's another guy who could do that.
I agree.
I saw us go to Tampa and retire Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So would I be afraid of the Bucs in the first round with the exact same roster but with Baker Mayfield instead of Tom Brady? I love Baker. Baker's my guy and he's having a great year. It was Tom Brady.
That's a fair point.
The Cowboys had never beat Tom Brady before that game.
Yeah.
And he beat them by 30. I'm not afraid to go to Tampa. I'd be a little nervous about the Saints just because, like, you know, the Mercedes, like that stadium, the, like, they're such a weird team that I think is terrible, and yet they're always in these weird, you have no idea what you're getting into. Sure, I'd be a little afraid.
Well,
would I be a little afraid of going to Detroit? Maybe. The only team I fear going to is San Francisco.
Okay.
I would not be scared to go to Philly.
Okay.
I would not be scared to go to Philly. And I would like my chances against Detroit, and I would like my chances against the Bucks and any of the NFC South teams.
So that's fair.
I want to host the playoffs.
Right.
But, you know, I understand that the realities is it gets much harder when you're not hosting.
That's fair.
But ultimately, you gotta beat who's in front of you, regardless of if you're at the home or on the road.
So transitioning then to, I agree with you. I think that's a great point about the tough, you know, games on the road that you lose, because I do think too often we hone in too much on the, oh well, they lost this close game against this good team, and it's like, well, I think it may have even been you that made this point once when we were talking about quarterback win percentage and wins against good teams. It's like most good quarterbacks only have about a 50% win chance against, or win percentage against those, because when good teams play each other, it's normally pretty close, you know?
I did say that. And
you did. It's a great point. But to transition into the full NFC playoff picture here, you've mentioned the Rams being frisky. You mentioned the Bucks possibly winning the South because me, the pseudo Falcons fan, is already ready to call for Arthur Smith's job. I'm over it. I'm over all of it. But talking about this, I guess the other teams to sort of hone in on would be Seattle, who just won huge, and then the Packers, who really have a playoff game against the Bucks this weekend. What kind of chances do you give them, or do you see the picture remaining the same with the Niners, Rams, Cowboys, Eagles, Lions, Vikings, and Bucks as the seven teams?
So I don't see the Packers sneaking in, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Josh. I think they've been fun and I think they've been frisky, but I thought I think their playoffs ended when you lose to Tommy, when they lost to Tommy DeVito.
Oh yeah, and I also I misspoke. They just lost to the Bucks. They don't have that coming up. I forgot.
Right.
It's my bad. So they do have the Panthers. They have the Panthers, the Vikings, and the Cowboys and the Bears to round out their season.
I think they probably win one, even maybe two of those games. I still think it might not be enough.
8-9, that sounds right.
Yeah, like I think basically I would say it's locked in that Detroit's going to be the 3 seed. Uh-huh. I think it's going to be Tampa or New Orleans at the 4 seed, and I would lean Tampa. But
I think Tampa's more fun. I think Tampa's more fun for fans.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. But I just don't know how any of us in good faith can pick a NFC South winner until we see who it is.
Fair point.
That's an insane division. And then I think San Francisco is at worst the 2 seed, most likely the 1 seed, but there's a slim chance.
Sure.
And
sure.
Then I would say it's going to be either Dallas at the 5 or Philly. I tend to think it's going to be Philly, but you know, who's to say? And then I think it's Los Angeles, Rams, and Seattle closing out 6 or 7. And in whatever world it is, I just hope the Rams somehow have to play the 49ers in the second round. And in whatever world it is, I just hope Dallas has to play either Seattle, Philly, Tampa.
Sure.
So
that makes sense. Speaking of, because I do agree, not to give away Rossi's rankings later in the show, but I do agree that San Fran is a step above the competition. I know that you just said that they're the one team that you would be afraid of as Dallas. So I want you to speak a little bit to why you still believe, even though you fear, why you still believe you could beat them in the postseason. And then if there are any other teams that I know you just said you'd like to see them play the Rams, if there's another team that you're like that you would think twice, maybe they could beat San Francisco. That's two-part question.
Look, I don't know that Dallas can. And if they matched up in the playoffs, especially on the road, I really don't know that I would pick them. And if you, as somebody who runs a Run Your Pool with picks, I don't know that I picked against Dallas in Run Your Pool ever in the history of my picks. But I don't know what evidence I would have to support that I could say that they would win. And it isn't even a Brock Purdy thing. It's a Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn dealing with motion offense issue, I think, more so.
That's fair.
Which does give me a little concern for the Dolphins this week.
But, yeah, Dan Orlovsky did a really good breakdown of that at NFL Live.
I don't know if anybody can beat the 49ers. I really don't. But I do believe in something it's a tenet and a philosophy that I hold true to my heart, is that the NFL is weird and it's stupid.
Yes.
And anything can happen on any given Sunday.
Yes.
Could the Rams upset a higher seeded team in the first round and face the 49ers?
Of course they can.
And then things get weird at a division rival, you know, McVay versus Shanahan, his only win really coming against him, I think, in the playoffs 2 years ago. Like, could that happen? Yeah, it totally could. It's hard to beat a team 3 times, you know, in a season. I think what happened in the 90s was the Dallas Cowboys beat the 49ers 2 years in a row in the playoffs, and then they beat them in the regular season. And then it just felt like the 49ers couldn't break through. And then the 49ers finally beat them in the playoffs that year, and then they went on to win, you know, start their winning in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I guess it's either the 49ers are going to own us and beat us for the rest of my life as I live and breathe, and I will never see us beat them in the playoffs, mm-hmm. or something will eventually have to give, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't wish this on anybody, but, you know, Deebo Samuel, you know, has a calf issue. Trent Williams has an ankle injury. Christian McCaffrey, yeah. I mean, truly, anybody, you know, all it takes with that team, as evidenced from the 3-game losing streak, is when they're not at 100%, they are much more beatable. Much more beatable.
Yeah.
And so, look, I don't wish that. I want to beat them full strength. I want to, you know, handle our business and just, you know, let the cards fall as they are. But, you know, the Rams could beat them. Hell, the Eagles, who I don't really even think that much of as a team, could see them again, and maybe, you know, they get revenge. I have no idea. I don't want to see them. That's all I know.
That's fair. If there are two, yeah, I mean, like, I do I want to be able to say that the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? Of course. Do I ever want to see them? Probably not. But if there's two things I love, it's being right. So I picked you guys to go to the Super Bowl, and I love seeing teams exercise demons. So if that matchup would happen, I would definitely be rooting for you guys.
Okay, and I still have a long futures Dallas Bills Super Bowl ticket, man. Without picking a winner either.
That's gonna be worth a decent amount.
$4 pays like $7.20.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So you know what? I'm holding out hope.
Yeah.
Maybe our loss last week could have been beneficial to me in the long-term financial future.
Sure.
Who knows?
Yeah, well. Okay, so I apologize. I mistakenly didn't send you that we were also going to do picks, but you've been on the show before. I'm hopeful that you thought about this.
Absolutely.
We normally go through our teams' games. Let's go through. Well, let's do Dallas last because it's your team. So let's just start with let's start with should be the soft serve one. The Panthers hosting the Packers this weekend.
Man, Panthers hosting the Packers, coming off a big 9-7 win against the Arthur Smith Falcons.
I want to throw up.
Packers fighting for their playoff lives. Give me the Packers 21-10. Panthers are, you know, cute. They're maybe hopefully building towards something. But you know, if the Packers lose to the Panthers, we can shut that season down.
Like, I refuse to
Zach Wilson and Drew Lock. It's the same thing here. Their playoff hopes are done.
I refuse to sell my Bryce Young's stock. I will hold on to it until the bitter end. Let's move to.
I believe that you have to be taller than me to be a good NFL quarterback. But you know, I hope he proves me wrong.
I hate that you're probably right. But anyway, let's go to the game that I should not actually be worried about. But I think coach fired thing is a real thing in the NFL.
It is.
And so the Chargers and a new interim coach get to host the Bills on Saturday. And I know I shouldn't on paper fear this game, but the coach being fired is a real thing.
Yep. In fact, the only team it didn't work for, I think, was like this year, the Panthers. But
yeah, but they got one eventually.
Do you know who they promoted? Like who it was from the staff?
I actually have no idea. I know that it wasn't Kellen Moore though, and there were a lot of people being very upset that it wasn't.
That was probably for the best. I like Kellen, but I think that was probably for the best. I would say that if the Bills lose to Easton Stick, a guy named after a hockey stick, that you know, like I think that's as a Cowboys fan, I'll be really mad because it's like, oh, we lost a game.
We lost to this team, yeah.
Yeah, we lost to the team that just lost to Easton Stick. I'll be furious. I think the Bills should win that. I think the L.A., you know, the stadium is going to be 85% Bills fans, if not more. I think you guys probably win that game 28-6. I think the Chargers stink. They're terrible.
No, I think I probably agree. I'm a little bit worried. Jordan Phillips, I think, is being placed on IR. He had a hand injury.
Oh.
He's a player that's really I even find annoying sometimes, but he's a tough guy and he gets the team going. So we'll see what happens. But you're right, I'm worried about it. But I think that about, by the second quarter we'll be up a couple and I'm like, all right, it's fine, we're okay. Let's round it out with your team, who I'm hoping can now do us a favor after we beat you, Dallas traveling to Miami.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, the Dolphins present a kind of a matchup, a nightmare, in the same way that the 49ers do. We struggle. Our defense is, you know, we love to just live in man coverage. We don't run a lot of zone under Quinn. So we're manning up a lot, and that's a team that's fast. That's a team that's scary. That's a team that can run well with both Mostert and Achane. I mean, those are two really good running backs. And they're Kyle Shanahan, you know, Mike McDaniel is a Kyle Shanahan protege, so his offense moves and feels extremely similar. Tyreek Hill is having, you know, maybe the best receiver season of my life, provided he plays, which I think he will because he sat last week, and I imagine he'll be able to go, and I imagine Jaylen Waddle will also be able to give it a go. And that, you know, we're on the road. Everything spells not great for us, but one thing about Dak under McCarthy, but this Cowboys squad under McCarthy, when they've had Dak at quarterback, is they don't typically lose two games in a row. In fact, I don't know that I can think of since 2021
sure
a time that they have ever.
That sounds probably right.
I could be wrong, but I actually think that's true. I don't actually think they've lost.
When you average like 10 to 12 wins a year as a coach, it's kind of hard to lose back-to-back games and still average that, so that sounds right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, truly. And so, like, they're pretty good about their bounce-back game, their get-right game. They're a team that, you know, has played with a lot of pride, and maybe the Dolphins are feeling a little high off their own supply. They just pummeled, a sad and almost somewhat, you know, pathetic division rival. But, you know, they beat them by 30 points, and they didn't really exert that much effort. They didn't have to – yeah, sorry. He agrees. He would have said the exact same thing if he was here. But they didn't have to exert a lot of effort, and, you know, I wonder if they might be feeling themselves a little bit. They have a pretty good lead on the division. And, you know, maybe the Cowboys come in and they fight. And the Dolphins have the same thing that the people have said about the Cowboys all year. You know, pretty good team.
Yeah.
Except the Dolphins' best win is against the Denver Broncos. Like, at least the Cowboys have beat the Eagles, Rams, the Seahawks. You know,
yeah. So, those are all good wins.
I like 31-24 with a late Brandon Aubrey field goal to give us a 7-point touchdown and then maybe a Micah Parsons sack on fourth down to close out the game in the fourth quarter. Tua is a quarterback who is good, but like Brock Purdy, and almost maybe worse than Brock Purdy in some regards. But if you can disrupt his timing and you can give him some pressure, get in his face. Like all quarterbacks, no quarterbacks like being pressured, but Tua does not like being pressured.
Yeah.
So give us a close game all game that we pull away from very late, and it comes down to, you know, maybe the last play or two, but we get out of there with a win and, you know, have our division, you know, still in our grasp.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. Normally we recap the pick. So you do have Green Bay on a decent win against the Panthers. You've got my Bills winning and decisively against the Chargers from your lips to God's ears, please. And then the Cowboys in a close one against Miami. Just give you a moment here. Are there any remaining thoughts just on maybe the AFC playoff picture before I let you go?
It's just been a weird year. I don't know if you and Josh have, you know, got it. I feel like I haven't heard it, but it's, you know, every week me and Jack watch, and football is my favorite sport, pretty easily my favorite sport. I love the other sports, but it's not even close. But it's, you know, there's a lot of, I feel like, bad football being played and ugly, sloppy. Like every week where I just sit, I'm like, oh man, what a bad crop of games I feel like I just watched. And it's been strange. So yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens are really fun. I would love to see Lamar, you know, finally shut some people up. I think the Bills are very scary, very dangerous. And I think, you know, the Chiefs are that lurking boogeyman. Even if I don't really buy them that much as a legitimate serious threat, I, you know, they should probably still be the favorites.
Right. I mean, like, I followed the Pats my whole life. This is what happened every December with the Patriots. I would be screaming at everybody. They're not as good as you think they are. And then they get to the playoffs and Brady and Belichick took over. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Gronk is catching 18 yards.
Yes, you know, they have, you
know, crossers. Kelsey will be doing that this year despite looking old all the time.
They have their they have their deficiencies just like most teams do. But I will never not feel uncomfortable going against them because they just, you know, you win two Super Bowls, you go to three of them in a 4 or 5 year span. You people aren't allowed to doubt you anymore, I don't think, personally.
Right. I basically feel the same way. So, you know, I've got money on Bills Cowboys, I've got money on 49ers Ravens, I've got money on Chiefs Cowboys, and I got money on Chiefs 49ers. So
nice. Those feel pretty good.
I'm rooting for any of those scenarios, and I feel pretty good about all of them.
I think you probably have one.
I think I might too. So we'll see. But yeah. You know, I hope when you do your Rossi's rankings, I would love, I haven't heard it yet, but if you did a impromptu off the dome since I brought it up, I would love to hear Rossi's rankings, top 5 MVP candidates.
Okay. You know what? Let's do it. So I will say this. I'll do off the dome top 5 Rossi rankings, but this is going to be like what I think it will be, not what I want it to be, because if you're a listener of the show, folks, you know how much I hate that MVP is always quarterback and they should just do a best quarterback award every year and make it a different thing. Because we have the Cy Young in baseball. Like, we know what the most important position is. It should be a different award. But I digress. I don't want to get too much into that. So let's go. I think the favorite right now to me should be Lamar. Like, I know that Purdy is going to get his flowers, but I think there are enough votes of football people who see how much help he gets, and I think that they would favor the sort of play creation that Lamar has. So I go Lamar 1.
Sure.
I think Purdy goes 2, though, just because at some point resumes become undeniable, and so I feel like he's up there. I think that Mahomes is going to get votes even though he struggled. I think that I would put him at 3 right now because it just takes a 3-game streak of him going like 4 touchdowns, no picks, which is certainly in his bag. But I think that he'll get votes just like LeBron always gets votes every year because it's just that's who they are. They're the best at what they do. I think I would put Allen at 4 right now. I know that a lot has been said about the turnovers, but he also leads the league in touchdown-to-turnover ratio because he has the most total touchdowns in the league. I think that will get a few votes. And then I think I'd put, like, 5 being somewhere between a Dak or a Hurts. If I'm personally getting a vote, Dak is higher. But I think that even though it's...
You don't want to vote for the quarterback Jamal Williams?
Yeah, right. even though I know 10 of his touchdowns are the tush push and it's not 100% him, even though that helped Josh and I's fantasy team this week, I feel like he might get a vote too, but if I had a choice, it'd be Dak over that. So
I think I would go Lamar 1 right now, Dak 2, Mahomes 3, Allen 4, and then probably Tyreek or McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I'm making a list of what if I had a vote, McCaffrey and Hill are both on my list. I don't care that Miami won 30-0 without Hill. Like, the two of them would be on my personal vote list. But again, it's never going to happen, so.
Hill is doing something we've maybe never seen. I think especially if he gets to 2,000, he should get votes. It'll be hard. He's going to have to really, like, he's going to have to... you know, put up some crazy numbers the final 3 weeks, but it's Tyreek Hill, so he totally can. But hey,
he could.
Hopefully not against my Cowboys. So, yes. You know, 300 yards on the next 2 games, not against us.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks for being on the show, man. I'm glad we got you for a little bit longer today. Sorry that Josh couldn't be chiming in too, but always a pleasure. I will be rooting for you guys this week and probably the rest of the season because, like I said, I like to be right, so I'd like to see you guys take it all the way.
I'll be rooting for the Bills as always, when they are not playing the Cowboys. And heck, hopefully we get to do a preview Super Bowl.
Oh, God, man, it would be crazy. It'd be so crazy. I can't even.
We'll do a 2-hour deep dive.
That's the case. Well, Josh and I will do our own episode, and then I will just have a you and me episode. All right, my friend, you take care and go Cowboys.
Take care. Go Bills, baby.
Once again, that was Mike, our Dallas Cowboys correspondent. I want to thank Mike for being on the show. Mike always has some great insights, so we appreciate you, my man. I guess we'll just get right into it then. We'll move on to Pals Picks. Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, again, I stand pat. Josh is better at that solo than I am. He does his range is better than mine. There's a reason why I do the low part and he does the high part, but he does the overall package better. But so let's get right into the Pals Picks. Again, we made a change and a little tweak to Pals Picks this year. The chaser, the person who's chasing from behind, gets to go first. So he gave me Texans hosting the Browns. And I'm going to go with the Texans here. I think that CJ Stroud is probably going to play in this game. I really like what the Texans did last week with Case Keenum. I had picked against them and I was surprised that they were able to do the things they were able to do. That, like, that defense, DeMeco Ryans has that defense playing phenomenally. Just the amount of stops they got and to get Case Keenum another opportunity to tie and then take it to the overtime and then eventually kick the game-winning field goal. Really like what I see out of the Texans. Although, I mean, the Browns with Joe Flacco have just been a revelation. When they get in the playoffs, maybe we can see if I can get my cousins or my uncle on again to talk about it because this Browns team is so odd with Kevin Stefanski and this offense having 4 different quarterbacks this year lead game-winning drives. That's kind of insane. I'm kind of talking myself into the Browns, but I'm going to stay back with the Texans at home. Dolphins hosting the Cowboys. We just talked about this with Mike. I am actually going to go with the Dolphins in this one. I want Cowboys to win so that we can set up that Week 18 game, Buffalo-Miami, for the division. But I think Miami's loss probably comes against Baltimore the following week rather than Dallas this week. I think Tyreek Hill will probably be back. And like Mike said, it's not the best matchup for them. So again, if I'm just going with my head over my heart, I'm going Dolphins, but I will be rooting for the Cowboys. And then we rounded out with those Ravens traveling to San Francisco for the 49ers. I'm going to go with the Niners in this one. We're going the homestead this week. I just think they're better. I know it's close, and I know this is a, you know, possible Super Bowl matchup slash preview. I just think the 49ers are better. I think that they do everything that the Ravens do just a little bit better outside of the quarterback position. So that's really where the crux of this game comes down for me. And I just don't know that after all these running back injuries, like, it just sucks for Keaton Mitchell, an undrafted rookie running back who's really catching fire. I was so excited to see him down the stretch and in the playoffs, a player I really, really love. You wish him a speedy recovery and hope he gets better very soon. But it's just tough. So I'm going to go with the 49ers on this one. McCaffrey's too hot. Purdy's not making mistakes. Debo, Kittle, it's just all a little bit too much. So I go with the Niners. So I got the Texans at home, the Dolphins at home, and the 49ers at home. And now, time for the games that I gave Josh. The first game I gave to Mr. Joshua Thomas Labbin was Steelers hosting the Bengals this weekend. My hope with this one is maybe we get the Mason Rudolph resurgence game. We've just had such a weird season with backup quarterbacks doing crazy good things. So Josh said, Bengals, baby. I'm riding the wave until I can't anymore. I know Jamar probably doesn't play, and that hurts, but Higgins, Mixon, boy, and Evans, I think the train continues. Oh, he meant Boyd. That's my fault. The defense will get after Rudolph, and I think this may be the first time I have seen the Steelers organizations lose fight under Tomlin. Outside of Watt and a few others, we've seen too many players too many times just not caring. That's an interesting point. I obviously would be rooting for the Steelers just for the chaos of the AFC needing to be what it needs to be for Buffalo, but I respect it. Second game is the Falcons hosting the Colts. Josh said, Minshew magic. I like Heineke, and he ain't it. Colts may be down Pittman, but also maybe getting back Taylor. And I continue to like a lot out of this quiet defense I've hyped up all year. Yes, Josh, is the theory that they may not have the gaudy numbers as other defenses, but in key moments, they've got players that can make big time plays. So I don't hate it. Obviously, the Colts are another team I'd like to see lose. I personally, as the pseudo Falcons fan, I think I've all just about given up on Arthur Smith to do the right thing. They need a quarterback and a coach next year, and I really feel good about winning the division. Last but not least, I gave him the Bucks hosting the Jags. He said, going with the Bucks here. In August, I insulted Baker Mayfield, and that in one of Green Bay's most important games of the season, he posted the first perfect passer rating in Lambeau as an opposing quarterback. And then he said, with the help of awful, awful tackling, but still an awesome accomplishment. If I am to take Tampa seriously as the North representative in the playoffs, they get this one at home against the Jags team that is hitting some major bumps lately. Christian Kirk out has really hurt the Jags' offensive production, and I think the weapons of Tampa, especially if Godwin does. I don't know what SSGS means, but anyway, he says he gets it done. So Josh went with the Bengals on the road, the Colts on the road, and the Bucks at home. That was Pal's Picks, sponsored by what's something that represents loneliness, because I miss my best friend. I don't know. Anyway, we're gonna round out the episode here with my Rossi rankings. Not too much fanfare for this. I'm just gonna go through it here. These are the five teams that I think are the best. We're gonna go 1 to 5. Number one, I think, is easy. It's the San Francisco 49ers. I really think that there's not a lot that they do poorly. The only questions you could have are about Brock in big moments, right? Because he wasn't forced to do a lot of in those big moments last year. But I think that, and like I said in our interview with Mike, at some point, numbers just become undeniable, right? So I go with Niners at one. Number two is the Baltimore Ravens. This is the team that when I recalled the Bills as Super Bowl champs this year, I said would go and win it all, and they just look better and better. Now, the Keaton Mitchell thing, I think, actually hurts them because he was a good, fresh, young back that was playing really awesome. Gus Edwards, Gus Buss, as I lovingly call him. I mean, he's an efficient back, but he's not going to be a back that takes over a game, right? Justice Hill is an interesting back. And then, of course, they have Melvin Gordon, who they just signed back from their either practice squad or he was at some point in the year, but he did take snaps this year as a Raven. So, but I have them at number two. At number three, I still have Dallas. I think that we can't overreact to a game like this. I know that they have lost other games before to other really good teams and on the road. But I don't think that when you lose to really good teams that you should just fall out of existence here. I just think Buffalo is very good, and it was a rainy day, and that Dallas was missing players, and things snowballed. I mean, we talked about that with Mike earlier in the show, so I just think it's a virtue that I still like a lot of what Dak's doing and what Dallas does. I think their defense is not as good as we touted it at the beginning of the year when it was just, you know, completely annihilating both New Jersey teams, but it's still very good, especially if they have a lead, and Dak's going to give them a lot of leads. So I have Dallas at three. At number four, I'm putting Buffalo here, and I think that this might be controversial to a lot of people, but I think that we are capable of playing the type of game we played last week where we run over everybody, and we're capable of playing a game where Allen goes nuts and just on the ground and through the air. I'm incredibly impressed. I think McDermott deserves some roses here for the way that he's putting this defense together with all these injuries. I really do. Like, I know that we got the McDermott hit piece that came out a little bit ago, but I think that the players in the locker room do actually respond to him, and I think they responded in a big way. I love the play of Terrell Bernard. I think we got another star at the linebacker position. I was really nervous about losing Tremaine Edmonds to Chicago in free agency, but Bernardo's been that much and more for us. Him and Tyrell Dodson together are great. It hurts that we probably won't get Milano back, because that would be amazing to have those three together. But we may be Daquan Jones back. So I really think that overall, the defense is outperforming what they should be right now because of the injury. So I have Buffalo at four. Number five is tough, but I'm going to put Kansas City there. I know that they're struggling right now, but I said this before, I'm just never going to give up on Kansas City. I put them just behind us because while I know that a call called back a big play that gave them the lead late against us, but we beat them, and I still think that we are a slightly better team than Kansas City. That might be a hot take, but until I see them fall flat on their face in a postseason game, I'm not going to. Kansas City has to be in your top five to me. Miami was a close one here for me, and Philly as well, but I think Philly drops out a little bit more just because the question marks that we've had are the same as when they were winning, and they just reared up a little bit more now that they're losing a couple of games here. So I think that's tough. So we go one is San Francisco, two is Baltimore, three is Dallas, four is Buffalo, and five is Kansas City. And that is your Rossi rankings on this episode of Soul Possession. A little mini fantasy corner here just to give you guys updated. We did make the playoffs, and we won our first playoff game in the craziest of fashions, as our opponent had to start Zach Wilson in one of their super flex positions, who had negative points. We had Bijan Robinson, who had negative points. And then it came down to, we were down by like 10 or 11 on Monday night. We had Jalen Hurts, and they had A.J. Brown, and Hurts put up 23 or 24 in our format. And A.J. Brown put up, you know, I think 10 or 11. So we ended up beating out that margin by only a couple of points. So we did move on to the second round, face the number one team in the league. But we are the number one scoring team in the league. We're just also the number one scored against team in the league. It's insane how that happens. But hopefully the luck will finally fall our way, as it did a little bit at the end of the week last week. And we can continue on our run here and win our first season. We've never won the title as our simultaneous catch league, so that'll be a lot of fun. Last but not least, let's do a little friend's fortune here. I'm going to go to that Buffalo Chargers game. So I'm going to my wheelhouse here, which is my team, just because I don't feel like doing the work on a lot of other things, on a lot of other teams right now. We're having a little senioritis at the theater here, as this is our last week before we go on vacation. And it's always hard without Josh to bounce off of. A lot of times during a show, fun fact, I will have a friend's fortune ready, but he will say something and it will trigger something that I want to do instead, and I'll make a note of it, and then when we do it, I'll come back to it. So that's also a part of it. My friend's fortune is that Buffalo
traveling to Los Angeles, a Saturday night football game. My friend's fortune here is going to be that the Buffalo defense will score more points than the Chargers offense. This is a super bold one. I think that Buffalo's defense is rounding a corner. I think that, you know, weather played somewhat of a factor, but being able to stifle the number one scoring offense in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys last week, I think was telling. And if you show up with Easton Stick and give up a lot of points against him, you know, NFL is week to week, right? You could never predict it really and truly and, you know, consistently accurately. However, I think that doing what we did against Dak is a sign that we can be even more dominant, if that's even possible, against a quarterback like Easton Stick. So I think we're going to score once or twice against them on defense. And I don't think that they're going to score a lot on offense, if at all on offense. So I could be wrong about it. And you know what? I'm really only concerned about the win. But my friend's fortune is the Buffalo defense will outscore the Chargers offense. And that's it for Soul Possession, my friends. A little bit of a shorter episode today. We had a great interview with our Dallas correspondent, Mike. Preceding that, I ranted a little bit about Aaron Rodgers and the silliness of his pseudo-intellectualism. And Pal's Picks, he's not that far behind me now after we had a couple of rough weeks on my end. So make sure you're checking out the Run Your Pool. I am dropping off right now. Right now, my D&D friend Jenny is in the lead, which is great. Great job, Jenny. But most of us are only a couple games behind, so make sure you keep doing that. And if you missed a week, like I said, and I've said a couple times, it's different this year. It'll auto-pick favorites for you, so you've not fallen behind. In fact, it may have helped you if you're a person who picks too many upsets. But yeah, so make sure you stay up to date with that. The winner gets a team apparel item of their choice. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Simultaneous Catch. On Twitter, Simult Catch. Make sure you have a happy and healthy holiday season. God bless everybody.